Hey, have you ever wondered, how do I learn more about the Bible? Maybe you wanted to, you've heard about it, you've thought, oh my gosh, it would be so cool if I knew more about God or knew how to study the Bible, and you just didn't know where to start. We're going to find out and so much more on today's Young Life podcast. I'm Charity Kalstrup. Thanks for joining me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's Young Life podcast. Listen, I want to share with you how to grow and learn about the Bible, which is actually one of my most favorite things. You know, you may not have grown up in a home where you saw a mom or a dad or a grandma or a family member have a close relationship with God, or maybe you did, but you're transitioning like out of children's church and into like your own relationship with God. Like, what does that look like? Where do you even start? Well, I want you to kind of call to mind something that you've learned how to do outside of church, not necessarily, you know, like reading or your relationship with God, but like maybe a certain dance. You know, I am not a great dancer at all. I would try, and I took dance as a kid, but I just never, it just wasn't for me. My little sister, however, she's amazing. But then even like piano lessons, like I took piano lessons for a while, but I hated to practice. I love to go to my lesson because my piano teacher was so fun. Like, I thought she had the best personality and she made learning so fun. But then when I got home all week long and I had to practice, I was like, I didn't really want to practice. And so really growing in your relationship with God requires a lot of the same skills that are required for you in learning anything else. First of all, you've got to have somebody that knows what's up. You have to know somebody that knows what they're doing, that knows how to help you, whether that's an actual person or it's somebody that's got a video like I'm making, so that you can grow and learn. So you need a teacher. And really, the Bible talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 16, the Bible calls them five gifts. God has actually given five different kinds of teachers to our life to help us grow in our relationship with God. So I want to start off by saying right away, wherever you are, it's so important that you get into a great youth group. And you might be asking, well, how do I know if it's a great youth group? Well, first of all, they need to preach Jesus. They need to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They need to believe in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God in the earth today. So they need to be a fire-filled church that believes in praying in tongues. And that might sound weird, but it's not. They need to be a church that believes in healing. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus took stripes on his back the same day that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross for your sickness. So you want to go to a church that believes in healing. You want to go to a church that believes in prosperity. Our God walks on streets of gold. The Bible says that he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. So you want to go to a church that believes in prosperity. You want to go to a church that believes in faith, because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, obviously, we believe all of those things here at Dean Schrofter Ministries and Choose Life Church. But if you don't live in Hobbs, New Mexico or the surrounding areas, you can always check us out on our YouTube channel, which is where you are right now, or a church like that in your community is where you need to start, because God has not left you to grow and learn about the Bible by yourself. So you want to get involved in a great youth group. You want to get filled with the Holy Spirit, like I already mentioned, because the Bible says in John 16:13, see, Jesus left. Obviously, he was here for 33 and a half years. His ministry only lasted for about 3.5 years. He started when he was 30 years old. He was crucified, resurrected, and then he went to heaven when he was about 33 and a half. So with that being said, he had a conversation with his disciples, and we can find this conversation in about John, the Gospel of John, which is one of the books of the Bible, John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Obviously, when Jesus was walking around the earth, he wasn't talking in chapters, which is how the Bible is divided up. So it's easy for us to reference. But that whole sermon, as we would like to call it, lasted from John 14 to John 17. And he was explaining to his disciples, hey, I'm about to leave the earth. I'm going to leave, but it's good that I leave because I'm in a body. I can only be at one place at one time. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to lead and guide you, John 16, 13 says, into all truth. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to take everything that's mine and he's going to reveal it to you. And so don't leave Jerusalem. Wait, he said in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power. So I want to tell you, you got to get in a good church. You've got to get filled with the Holy Spirit because he's going to help you understand God's word. He's going to help you not only understand what it means, but how you can apply it to your life personally. And then number three, you're going to need tools. And what I like to say, a time in God's presence every single day. What does it mean to have a time in God's presence every single day? Well, it's time with God's word, because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So when you spend time in your Bible, you are actually spending time with God. I want you to rewind to like years and years and years and years and years ago, whenever like our American soldiers would go overseas and there's no telephones, no FaceTime. I know this is so hard to wrap your head around. No cell phones. They would literally keep in contact by letters. And if you were a woman who had a lover, a soldier that you had married before he went off to war overseas, you would cherish those letters as so precious because that was your only connection with them. Well, the Bible isn't our only connection with God, because the Bible says that when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, he fills us with his presence. He will never leave us and he will never forsake us. But how do we even know what that presence is like outside of his word? We don't. So every time you spend time with his word, it's like spending time with that love letter where he wants to show himself to you and he wants to show you to yourself. It's like you actually find out who you are in the Bible. In one place, it actually refers to it as a mirror in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. See, when you look into a mirror, you see yourself. Well, spiritually, when we look into the Bible, we see ourselves. So when we learn about what God's word says, when we learn in the Bible that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, then we start to see ourselves that way. When we read in God's word that he's made us rich, that Jesus was made poor so that we could be rich, we start to see ourselves that way. When we see in God's word that he has a plan for a good future and a hope for us, when we see that in God's word, then we begin to reflect that. So God's word is actually a mirror. It shows us who we are. And when you spend time in God's presence or in his word every single day, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says that we're renewed. It's just like taking a shower. I don't know about you, but I don't take a shower once a week. That would be so disgusting. I take a shower, honestly, twice a day, right? Why do I do that? Because I need the refreshment. I need to be refreshed. I take a shower before I go to bed because I don't like to go to bed like with the day on me. And I take a shower in the morning after I go to the gym. So I take two showers every single day and I'm refreshing my body, clearly, right? Well, when you spend time in God's word, you're refreshing the man, the real man, the real you that's on the inside. See, you are three parts. You are a spirit, you have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you live in a body. See, when you got saved, your body didn't change, your soul didn't change, but your spirit did. It's like if we were to cut you open before you became a Christian, before you invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life, it would be a big black hole. It would be dark. But the moment that you made Jesus the Lord of your life, everything was made new on the inside. You were made bright and light and righteous. The Bible says you were the righteousness of of God in Christ Jesus. Well, your mind stayed the same, your body stayed the same, your emotions stayed the same. So what happens is now through our relationship with God's word, we learn what's on the inside so that we can manifest it or bring it to the outside. So we learn by studying God's word what he did for us when we got saved. Because again, you're primarily a spirit. Your body is going to go away. Your soul is going to go away. But your spirit, the real you, is going to live forever one day in one of two places. Now, you're a Christian, or if you're not, you can pray a prayer with me at the end of this broadcast to become a Christian. You're going to heaven. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And the only thing that decides that is you confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But once you've done that, guys, it's your job to find out all the good stuff that God has for you, all the good stuff that he's done for you, and that's tied to knowing what his word says. So, number one, you got to have a teacher. You got to be in the right church. You've got to have a right pastor. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. And then number three, you've got to have that time every single day. And in Psalms 119, verse 11, the Bible says, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." See, this relationship that we have with God's word will protect us. It will give us power over sin. You know, when you think about athletes that train, what maybe they're basketball players and they practice and they practice, they practice running, they practice ball handling, they practice shooting, they practice guarding. Why do they do that? So they can win. Well, when we spend time in God's word every single day, it gives us the ability to win in life. Guys, if you're, you know, not winning games, it's not fun. I don't know about you, but I was a huge basketball fan when I was in high school. Now, I wasn't a player, I was a fan. And y'all, our basketball team was so good. Literally, our basketball coach has won he's in the National Hall of Fame, Ralph Tasker, in little town Hobbs, New Mexico, southeastern New Mexico. I'm telling you, we are on the map, literally, for basketball. Now, you may be too young to know all about it, and that's fine. But I did not like when we lost, which was convenient because we didn't lose a lot, but I really liked to win. But you know, at the end of the day, winning or losing high school championships, middle school championships, not a big deal. But guys, winning or losing in life, that's a really big deal. And I want to see to it that you win. And Jesus paid with his own life on the cross for you to win. So you've got to have a church where you're hearing God's word, where you're understanding his love and his plan, where you're being taught. Number two, you've got to have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Number three, you've got to spend that time every single day, which brings me to this huge stack of tools that I have right next to me. Because when you spend that time with God every single day, that's not like meditation, like yoga or like Hinduism or all of that, where we're just sitting and being with our thoughts. No, we're not being with our thoughts. We're actually renewing our thoughts and changing our thoughts in accordance to the word of God. So there's some things that you're going to need when you spend this time with God every single day. And I'm going to show you a couple of them. Most of these you can probably purchase at, you know, Barnes and Noble, which is still a thing. Hallelujah, guys. For all those that like to read, it's like your choices are getting slimmer and slimmer. There used to be like bookstores all over. Now Barnes and Noble is like holding it down. Mardell's in some markets as a Christian bookstore. We have a Christian bookstore in our church because there's just not one in our town anymore. So, okay, first thing is you need a great Bible, and you need a Bible in a modern translation. And so I recommend a couple. I always start in the New King James. So have at least one New King James in your library. And if you're thinking I'm about to say you should have one more than one Bible, I am. And I'm not going to apologize for that because you have more than one favorite pair of tennis shoes, I'm sure. So start with the New King James, but then I recommend the New Living Bible, which is what this one is, or the Message Paraphrase is also a great one. The Passion Bible is a great one. The Amplified Classic is also a great one, easy to read, easy to understand. So you want to start with a Bible. Now, the Bible is divided into two basic covenants or testaments, as we like to call it. The old was written to the Jews, to the people of Israel, and the new covenant was written to us, the Gentiles, which is any other people group, not a Jew, or the church. And so the Bible's divided up in those two ways. And again, in a good church, you're going to learn all of that. But just so you know right away, once you have this Bible, there's also great things that they make called Bible tabs, which will really help you because the Bible has 66 different books and we can learn things from all of them, but primarily we stay because we're not Jews and because of the time that we live in right now. We stay in the New Testament. But when you're in a service and the pastor says, go to the book of Matthew, you can always go to the table of contents. But until you get familiar with where all the books of the Bible are, Bible tabs will really help you. So you need a Bible, you can grab some Bible tabs, that will help you. And then I want to encourage you, and you may have to write this down or take some notes in your phone, to read every single day one chapter in the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is called the book of wisdom, and it has simple instructions, things that we can do every single day in our character and in our lifestyle that will help us. Now, what I like to do when I spend time in God's presence, which is with His Word, is I start in the book of Proverbs and I read one proverb a day. So at the time of this recording, I'm on the 14th day of the month. So I read Proverbs 14 today. And what I like to do is I like to get a journal because you remember what you write more than just what you read. And I don't mean type. It's different when you write. So I would write in my journal Proverbs 14 and then every verse, because they're divided into verses, each chapter is divided into verses, which is basically sentences. I write out what verse stood out to me, what I learned or what I really liked, so that I can memorize it and I can allow that truth to become a part of me. Just like your favorite song, the lyrics become real to you. Well, you want God's word to become real to you. And actually, unlike a song, it will change you and it will mold you into God's character. And actually, the word of God will produce itself in you. So when you read a word about integrity or about having good character and you memorize it and you keep thinking about it, it will change you into a person with good character. It's like supernatural. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, it actually changes you. The word actually changes you. So I start in the book of Proverbs. Like I said, I'll write it in my journal. I like to write things down because you'll remember more that you write down. And then I go to the New Testament and I read a chapter in the New Testament. The New Testament starts in the book of Matthew. It's also awesome to write down anything that you don't understand because you can hit up your youth pastor or maybe a Christian friend. If you're in a small group, you can ask them, hey, I was reading this in the book of Luke and I didn't understand it. Can you help me with it? So going to your quiet time with the Bible and a journal is vital. It's so important. There's also great tools available like this one, which is a daily devotion that actually breaks down different truths in God's word for you to read every single day. And it's for the entire year. So for example, February 13th, it tells you what to read and it's a great way to learn. It's almost like having a mini sermon in a book every single day. And so when I was your age, I really liked devotions like this. Now, again, how do you choose the right one? Well, you want to choose one that's full of faith. You want to choose one that doesn't talk about God being in control because God's not in control. You want to read one that talks about victory because God gave you victory in Jesus. So these devotions are great. Another tool that's great is any sort of study guides. And all of these are available. We can help you find, just hit us up at the end of this podcast, email us, let us know, hey, I really liked that. We'll be more than happy to show you where to find it or how to find it. This is a great Bible study course that you could also do. There's all kinds of books for young people on prayer. This is our favorite. It teaches you how to pray. It's called Prayers That Avail Much for Teens. So once you've done your reading, which is like maybe two chapters every day, one chapter in Proverbs and one chapter in the New Testament, and you've written down what stood out to you, you can learn to pray according to God's word. This is a great book that will help you with your time of prayer. You may have heard somebody pray and thought, where did they learn how to pray like that? Well, they're praying God's word, because when you speak God's word, it brings power to whatever situation you're facing. So this is a great one. all kinds of books for teens that will help you understand Bible concepts. This one is talking about the words of your mouth and how powerful they are. This one is talking about your relationship with God. You know, how should you date? Should you date? You know, there's lots of books that are unique for teenagers. This one is all about girls, how we should be the best girl that we can be, modesty, how we should dress, whatever. This is one of my favorites, The Search for Significance, you know, having our value and our worth in our relationship with God. So what I like to do when I go into God's presence is I like to have my Bible. I like to have my journal. I spend some time praying. And then I read a chapter from a faith-filled book that I've selected. Guys, if you spend 10 minutes a day on something, in 5 years, you're going to be an expert. Anybody can spend 10 minutes with God. And so really, that time that you spend in God's Word, it may seem like, wow, that just seems like reading or doesn't seem that hard. It's not that hard, but it's not just reading. It's actually transforming you. And I like this verse that I want to close with today. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" You know, I want to encourage you that right now, having a relationship with God and learning what that looks like is one of the best decisions you could ever make. It's so much easier to learn and grow in your relationship with God now, as opposed to later in life when you're married, when you've already got kids, when you're already basically in life. So don't waste these years. Take advantage of these tools. Take advantage of this podcast, of this ministry. We're here to help you. Now, if you've stumbled across this podcast and maybe you've never invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I want to lead you in a prayer to do that. And then again, at the end of this podcast, there's going to be some information on the screen for how you can contact us to get free information about being a Christian, or an email address so that you can let us know, hey, I wanted to know more about that book that you showed or something that you talked about. Let me know. I'm here to help. But if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, please pray this prayer after me. Say, "Dear God, right now, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe all the sin of the world was laid on him so I could be right. He was broken in every way so that I could be whole. Right now, I accept Jesus into my life. Make me brand new. And from this day forward, I will serve you. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today on this Young Life podcast. I look forward to seeing you again really soon. Yeah. Yeah.